If you were here this morning, you will recall that our brother was speaking about the church. Before he preached this morning, in the hours of this morning, the Lord directed my heart to the same theme. And I want you to turn with me, please, beloved, into the Hebrew letter and the 12th chapter. In this chapter, the Lord speaks to us about the stage or state we are in, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, and the furthest place that you can possibly reach while on this earth. For the next stage, which will take place after his coming, and after the winding up of this universe as it is now, and when he has created a new heaven and a new earth, then other things will be developed. But here is the position. If you are a born-again child of God, here is your position now. Verse 22. You are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now you will know that the blood of Abel was shed soon after that, as far as history goes, after the creation of the world in which we are living. He was the son of Adam and Eve. If you look back with me into the beginning of the chapter, this is what we read. Abel is mentioned, by the way, in chapter 11, verse 4. Perhaps we'd better look there first. That by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I would like you to notice in this great chapter on faith, which perhaps we'd better examine now, and I feel I'm going to be a very long time tonight, so I hope you're well wrapped up. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand, here it is, that the worlds were framed, the ages were fitted together, a better translation, by the word of God. So that things which are seen, that is, the creation all around you, were not made of things which do appear. No mention of Adam and Eve. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Now it is no coincidence that in this which I read to you earlier, Jesus and his blood are spoken of as almost a precinct to the new age. As Abel was slain and his blood was shed soon after the first great age of creation, so Jesus' blood has been shed, and God has interposed an age of grace. in which you and I may hear the gospel, believe and be saved from all sin, from the devil's clutches, all devils driven out of you, all darkness dispersed, all fears gone. Well, I could keep on like that for a long time. And then, after this great age has finished, the great new creation. This letter makes clear, you could read it in an earlier chapter, that we have tasted of the powers of the age to come now. And in case you think that has to do with the gifts of the Spirit, I want to tell you that it doesn't have anything to do with the gifts of the Spirit. There won't be any tongue speaking or interpretation, and there won't be any need for healing, and there won't be any need for words of wisdom of knowledge, because we'll all know, even as we are known. The powers of the age to come are found in the blood of Jesus Christ. The powers of the age to come are love, joy, peace, faith, for God is the author of faith. The powers that move a man's soul, and I want to tell you, if you don't get moved by these powers whilst you're in this age, which we can call the church age, you won't know anything but the powers of hell when you depart this world. Let's get that very, very clear. Jesus is the power of God. And with power, he didn't let men take his blood from him. He shed his blood. Definitely to redeem us from sin. And bring us out of all forms of bondage, whatever they may be, glory to his name. And it's God's grace and will that we should experience this daily, increasingly. So if you come to Rora next year, if the Lord doesn't come, then don't break your collarbone or anything like that. Because you want to come and do what Jenny did. She got out and danced down the path. I don't often see Jenny dancing, I guess. Well, perhaps Norman does in private. But here then, I thought when about it, he must have imparted his Nigerian ways to Jenny. For she outdances him any time. And here then is the greatness and the wonder of this love. If you come, you'll hear again about the mighty powers of God by his grace, you will. Won't they, Norman? Amen. If we're together, which God grant. Here then is the marvelous and wonderful truth of God. You now are in the final phase. You say, what do you mean? You think the Lord's coming back tomorrow? No, I'm not talking about coming to the Lord. I'm not getting mixed up in that kind of thing. All I'm saying is, and want you to believe with all your heart, indeed you ought to be rejoicing. Let me read it again. If you are in the church of Jesus Christ, you can go no further than this while you're on this earth. Let's read it. You are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city. There's nothing beyond that for us. Hallelujah. Not in this life. In fact, we are presented with it in the creation. Come down from God out of heaven. Now, we've come there. Well, you can't go further than that. Keep it very clear. You can go further than just having your sins forgiven. You can go further than just being delivered. You can go further than being healed, as wonderful as that is. You can go further than having gifts of the Spirit, ministering these gifts. Whatever it is, you can go further than those. But you cannot go further than not only partaking of the powers of the age to come, but being already arrived at the city of the age to come. Let's go on. You come to Mount Zion. Unto the city of the living God. The proof that you have come is that the living God has come to live in your heart. That's the proof of it, that he's there. For that's what it's all about. I'm not going to deal with that in all its fullness tonight. But let's go on. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where you live. Amen. And what are you doing in the states that you get in then? What is it? Something's awry. Something's gone radically wrong with the churches. Here it is. You've come to an innumerable company of angels. What's all this talk about? You see devils everywhere. I don't see devils anywhere. I never have, and I don't expect to. Amen. I may see the effects of their works, but I don't see devils. I don't see big black bats flying out of hell. I don't see snakes whirling about in the bottom of a pit. I don't see all these queer things that people say they see when they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's supposed to be a mark of the fact that they've got great discernment. Well, I thank God I'm blind. And God says there's none so blind as my servant. You can read that in Isaiah. Amen. But I can see this city. I can see that. You say, we've got a vision of it. Yeah, well, the one that's in the Bible, I've got that one. I often think about it. But let's go on. I've come to an innumerable company of angels. Listen, if there are 1,000 people in this tent tonight, there are 1,000 angels here. Now, what are you worried about? I mean, you've got 999 beside your one. What are you worried about? I'm sure it's people who have never really grasped the truth, Norman, that's the root of all the problem. Would you agree with me? Perhaps I ought to be preaching to the brethren. I did the other morning, night of what it was, preaching to these apostles and brethren. Well, we all ought to know the truth, whether we be just newly born or whether we be 50 years on the road. Here, then, is the marvelous truth. We've come to the General Assembly. We're all here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm at the place where everybody that's born again is. I'm not in mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won, or anything like that. I'm in the sweeter communion of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It's a marvelous and wonderful truth. Do I see shades? Do I see glorious flashes of light? Only once when my eye went wrong. Here then, beloved, is the truth. God wants us to be eminently sane, absolutely human, completely humble, and know nothing except he reveals it to you, and walk as you are led. Oh, you can't go wrong. It's so easy, it's so simple, and I want to speak to you people, if you hear these things and read about them in magazines, this, that, and the other, or you keep listening to tapes, I want to tell you that this life is utter simplicity. Utter simplicity. And God loves the simple people. And the trouble with men is they keep reaching out. They'll tell you they don't. They'll tell you that they're only humble. But you'll find inside they're envious. They want this. They want that. They want the other. Let me tell you something. Any gifts I ever had, God gave to me, and I didn't know he'd done it. I just simply found them functioning. I never asked for anything. God knows. So don't blame me. God gave them to me. God showered them upon me. God did it. Then I put the responsibility on him. And how wonderful it is, beloved. That saved me from being greedy. That saved me from being envious or jealous. That saved me from reaching out for this, that, and the other. Oh, beloved, I learned the secret of being like a bird or a flower in the field. I learned that I don't look much like a flower, I know. And when Norman was talking about that beak this morning, I covered my nose up. Here then, beloved, is the marvelous truth that the children of God need to come into en masse. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do shut your ears to all these siren voices that tell you this and tell you that. Beloved, listen, we've come to the General Assembly. Amen. Everybody's here. Listen, it's the Church of the Firstborns there, whose names are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all. And remember that we're told in verse 22, we've come to the innumerable company of angels. You couldn't get a bigger mass than this. 1,000? 1,000? What's 1,000? It's not a drop in a bucket that God is talking about. And here we are. We've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. And don't try and feel them. Don't do that. Just believe. Hallelujah. Amen. I suppose that's why the Lord said, the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not go erring. Because that just about describes me. And you need to know and just simply believe this book. And it's an amazing thing what happens in the life. You won't strive, you won't do anything. But listen, let's go on. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now that's where I am. And if you say you're a born-again Christian, that's where you are, and you can't have sin in your heart. You can't entertain grudges against anybody. You can't think you're badly done by, even if it's a Delilah whispering it to you in your ear. You can't accept anything whatsoever. Amen. I'm afraid that too many people are boasting of being in this great new covenant who aren't in. They believe it because they can see through enlightenment that it's the truth. But to enter into this enveloping thing, oh God, the General Assembly, you know, General Booth here. You say, what? No, we're not going to beat the drum. Mary Slessor's here. Where I am. They're all here. You say, do you talk to them? No, no. No, I don't talk to them. Amen. I believe it. We're all here. Paul's here. That's why he's such a friend of mine. John's a great friend of mine. We're all here. We're all here. You say, the man's mad. Well, all right. You can call me mad. I don't care what you call me, as long as you don't call me bad. Well, it won't matter if you do that. You'll be telling a lie. Here is the great and marvelous truth, beloved, to see and understand what it's all about. The book doesn't say, now you're coming there, keep slogging away, you'll get there one day, you'll get there just when Jesus, the trumpet's blown and Jesus comes. That's the great deception. That is what deceived the Hebrews in their day and gave the writer the reason to write to them and tell them the truth. They were saying, oh Lord, why didn't you come back and take us up to New Jerusalem? We hate the Jerusalem that is. That is, of course, the city of Jerusalem and so on earth, that is. But, beloved, this man who was living therein himself, that is, in the heavenly Jerusalem, He sought to make them see. But I'm going to ask you, how can a man impart the vision, the true vision, to hearts that cannot see and souls that cannot feel, men and women that do not know? Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord, beloved. We're there, beloved. And we're there because, let's read it this way. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You say, really? Compassed about with them too? Yeah, Abraham's here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ah, you say, that's Old Testament. No, it wasn't. The Hebrews was a New Testament book. So stop your nonsense. We're all here. David's here. Isaiah's here. Say, where? I don't know where. He's one among the crowd. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've got real redemption. True new life. In the spirit, they're all there. They've only gone from the earth. Where they're gathered, I don't know, but I know I'm gathering with them. And I'm going to take my place among them one day when God does it. Precious, precious Lord. Oh, let's read on. We are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking at Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and Moses and David. It doesn't say that in my Bible. It says looking unto Jesus. They're all gathered around Jesus. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. You see, can you see him in the crowd? Well, they're spirits, beloved. It says the spirits are just men made perfect. They're transparent. I can see Jesus through them. You see, what's this he's teaching us? Something you ought to have known since your spiritual infancy. Here, then, is the great and marvelous thing. And you're aware of God. You're aware of the saints. You're aware of angels. You say, do you know what angels look like? Well, I've got one or two descriptions of them in the Bible, though they seem to vary a little bit. I guess they're, you know, like me. You look at me now, my nose is nothing like Norman's. They vary. We all vary. If they've got ears to hear, well, you see, that's the thing. Let's get away from being bound down by mere humanity. Well, we are human, aren't we? We're the elect humans. We're the people that have been brought up out of the horrible pit of our own sin and our own personality. We've been brought up out of these confining walls. We've been lifted up to heaven. Do you believe it? I've found a new place in the heavenlies, in Jesus Christ. Sing it, in Jesus Christ. I've found a new place in the heavenlies, in Jesus Christ. Sing it then, a place of, sorry, laugh, a place of rest. A place of joy and sweet release. I found a new place in the heavenlies, in Jesus Christ. Now some of you look as though you've sunk to another low in the pit. Now come on. I found a new place in the heavenlies, in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I found a new place in the heavenlies. In Jesus Christ, a place of joy, a place of peace, a place of joy and full release. I found a new place in the heavenlies, in Jesus Christ. Sing it again. I found a new place in the heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. I found a new place. A place of rest, a place of peace, a place of joy and full release. I found a new place in the heavenlies, in Jesus. All right, sit down. We're not the marching church. I only have a marching church in Zimbabwe, thank God. Well, I don't mean that, I mean that because it's the name of it. Hallelujah. Here then is the whole tremendous and glorious truth, beloved. You see, it says something wonderful here. It says, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You may have thought that this means they're all sitting around in some big amphitheatre and they're watching the Olympic Games. And we've all got to be like Sebastian Coe or someone. Or something like that. That's not what it's about. It's us seeing them. They're all gathered. They're all gathered there with the Lord. We've got to see them. We keep our eyes on the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on, because this is what we're being told. Looking, verse 2, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Now that's it. It's not them keeping their eye on us. It's us keeping their eye on him and them, who by his grace, which extended to the Old Testament saints, as well as to the new, praise God, that's why he's the central one. We look at him. The grace of God was wonderful to those old people. Marvelous. In case you think that they were in such terrible legal bondage, and we're ever so glad to get rid of all that stuff, as though God was almost a sort of a semi-demon for pushing upon men and women terrible things that ground them down and hounded them almost to the brink of hell. If you think that, you've got the wrong idea of God. And that's why you have stupid people who don't know any difference saying, I don't believe in the God of the Old Testament. I believe in the God of the New Testament. How stupid can you get? The whole glorious thing is that God in his grace called this people out of Egypt and did great things for them. He revealed himself in marvelous majesty to them. He showed them wonderful things. He came down and he was in a bush, perhaps in the backside of the desert. Or he was somewhere, we'll look at it in a moment or two, and he came down and he was revealed unto them, and his grandeur was made known. You'll know this is one of the great things of the Old Testament prophets. They had a marvelous view of God. You should read it. Listen. I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. They said, holy, holy, holy. And the doorposts moved. It could have been very frightening. Couldn't it? God knew that. This was his special grace to us. He came down in human form. Frightened nobody. The meek and lowly Jesus. Wonderful. But it was sheer grace, beloved. But we'll read about it. Listen. It says this in verse 18. You are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. They could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Fancy that. You come to a mountain, and all of a sudden thick darkness, like the Stygian gloom of Egypt, wherein the Egyptians groped around and couldn't see their hand in front of their face, as God was bringing the final judgment upon them. From darkness they went into death, the death of the firstborn. That's what happened in Egypt, and God brought it there again. All this darkness, even Moses was afraid. Listen. If you read the Old Testament version, you will find that there was thunder and a voice spoke and the mountain absolutely burned with fire. Whatever was God doing, he was showing them the state of the world, the state of people's hearts, blackness, darkness. They could see nothing. And then he showed them the mountain flaming with fire. And he says, I've come down. Don't you know a way to think and speak about me? It's fire. I'm there. I'm the only light of the world. I am the only warmth of the world. I am the only one. That's what he said to Moses when he was in the burning bush. He said, I am. I am. If you want to know who I am that I am. That's who I am. That's God. And he comes down. That was wonderful, wasn't it? And then, as the psalmist says, he says, the law came out like lava from an erupting mountain, as a fiery stream it came down. Have you ever seen an erupting mountain? Have you? I haven't actually seen it erupting. I've seen old Etna slumbering and smoking all the time. I've seen the results of lava coming out of a mountain. Horrible and black. Nasty. Have you ever seen the fiery stream? Have you? God, in his mercy and his grace, revealed himself to them and gave them this fiery law. Amen. And then he decided that he was going to come down in a man. Just like me. You know what I mean? Just a man of flesh and blood as Jesus was. Hallelujah. What grace, O Lord. What grace and wonder and love and kindness. What a gentle approach you've made to men, O Lord. You've made it so we who terrorize at the least thing shall not run away from thee. You've made it so that we can come and know that though you're so high and wonderful, and though you came down and flamed on that mountain, You're wonderful and gentle and glorious and kind, and you invite us. But he's always been like that. That's the great thing. There has been a gradual revelation, self-given by God in this Bible, lest you and I should become so familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ and think in terms that my mother taught me to pray when I was a child of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. I didn't say it like that when I learned. I say, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Just like some people read the Bible, they just gabble it out. They've got no sense or understanding. The Bible ought to be taken away from them, in public anyway. Here then is the great and marvelous thing. Gentle Jesus. Let me tell you, friend, that I've never known anybody as gentle Jesus, as gentle as Jesus. With me, in case you're afraid of him, son, in case you think you deserve a beating, I want to tell you that somehow you've got a foreigner's God. You haven't got the truth. In his mightiness to save, he comes so gently and speaks, amen. Look unto Jesus, verse 2. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hallelujah. The joy, oh, the joy of Jesus is such a marvelous joy. You remember, if you're thinking about, well, the joy that was set before him of going back home to Father, and you should, of course. But I want to switch your mind to another joy that he told in a story like this. There is more joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner repenting than over the 99 that need no repentance. How about that joy? How about the joy of the Father who welcomed home a prodigal son and said, smothered out all his explanations and everything he said about his unworthiness, and God doesn't delight in the repetition of sin. He likes repentance, of course. But he doesn't need telling all the dirty, filthy details of it all, like some people think you ought to go through. Drag your mind back through a quagmire of the past that's so deep that there's no bottom to it. And then they've got to drag you up out of it. You read the story of the prodigal son. It is, oh Lord, I've been with these women. Oh Lord, I've got myself drunk. Oh Father, I did this, I did that, or did the other way. All people tell you today that you should go and drag all the way back and trace it right back to when you first cried as a baby or something like that. Oh, it sounds so good. They're wanting to bring you to what's called release. They don't know the great eruptive power that made Sinai fountain forth flame. They don't know anything about that. That would have purged you through and through and through and through. It would have purged your body through till you became ash like the lava flow, wouldn't it? And the blessed love of God, when you get it right, when it happens to you, when all the fountain of sin is dealt with, when all the mess is burned up in the fire, Hallelujah. You don't need any psychological treatment like Norman was telling us about this morning, that he thought he had to go in for clinical theology or something like that. You don't need that, Brenda. I want to tell you, you didn't get it right at the beginning. That's where your trouble lies. I testify to you, and this is my discovery wherever I go on the earth and among our own fellowships, that there are people there, they can speak in tongues, but they never got it right at the beginning. They never got it. Don't you see, beloved, Jesus Christ came down on this earth to deal with sin, to deal with its root, to deal with its fountain flow, to deal with its beginnings, to deal with it. And when he deals with it, he'll deal with everything going back to your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandparents. You'll go through your everything else, right back through those genealogies that you write in the Bible, find in the Bible, until, like reading Luke's Gospel, you come back to Adam. He deals with the lot. He deals with the lot! That's what birth is about! I got that when I was born first time, all that lot. I got rid of it when I got born the second time. That's right. That's the first birth. That's why you're called one of the firstborn ones. That's the first birth. That's the thing that God had in his heart. You say, you're turning my theology upside down. Amen. I want to. I find I have to. You say, why don't you write a book on theology? Well, just keep listening to all the tapes. You'll gather it in time. Here is the great truth. We don't understand, beloved, because we're bookbound. We're not spirit released. That's the first birth, when God conceived you in his heart before eternity. You understand that? Tell me if you don't. Put your hand up. Here's the truth. Blessed be thy name, Lord. I want to shout it from the housetops. There is a birth. More than a conversion. More than all those things. There is a coming forth from the bowels of the Almighty. You say, but you're in a human frame still too. Yes, it's absolutely true. But to come forth from a spirit, listen, I want to read about it. Here it is. Verse 9. We have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, or we used to in the days when this book was written. I don't know whether we do now. I'm speaking of families. You parents know. And it says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? Amen. And live. So living is only not, it's not just by a birth, but being in subjection to the Father as well. If you really want to live, and let him turn your theology upside down. Oh no, he won't tell you that you're redeemed by anything else but the blood of Jesus. He won't change those things. But it's your philosophy built upon the facts from which all doctrine or whatever it is comes. What's crawling on me, Norman? Will you take it away? Good. Thank you. He did for me what I did for him this morning. Oh, beloved. Do you see? Tell me if you see the truth. Will you? Tell me. Go on then. That's what it's about. Change your preaching, preacher. Here is the great truth, and it's eruptive when it comes. It's explosive. And God deals with it. Amen. Is there no growth beyond that? Amen, there's growth. This is the very book that tells you you're to go on to perfection. It's a wonderful thing. And we're born. He's the Father of spirits. And they're all spirits up there. They're all spirits. I want to tell you that New Jerusalem is a city of spirits in spiritual bodies. I don't understand much about that. I've very much got a human body. I know this, that I won't have any retina trouble when I get up there. And it's a marvelous thing. I want you to believe it. That's why it's in the Bible. God give us men and women who can preach it. Instead of mumbling about how to keep your marriage right or something. Let them get born again. Their marriage will be all right. So will their single life if you haven't the good fortune to be married. Here then is the marvelous and glorious truth. Listen to your father. Everything will come right then. And the Lord wants us to see this. Hallelujah. And listen. It says in verse 22 that we've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And it says, we've come to, verse 23, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God. He judges all. Let me read on now. And to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. I want that to ding in your ears and echo in your heart. A new covenant, a new covenant, a new covenant, until you exult in it. And when you get in the new covenant properly, this is what you'll realize. In verse 28, we receive a kingdom, and it's God's. It's not my kingdom. I receive God's kingdom. You say, God's kingdom? Sure. Didn't I receive God's Son? Didn't I receive God's Son? And that's God the Father's kingdom. He lived in the Son. The other things he created, dirt and wood and leaves and all that sort of thing, these are but faint echoes. These are but faint pictures of truth, if only we could see it, so that we can live in a realm. I know Norman sees it, he's an artist. You can't be an artist, you haven't got eyes to see, but it's what you see. Some of the rotten stuff that's been painted, you know what they're seeing, you know what kingdom they're living in. Here then is the marvel of the truth, and God open all our eyes and hearts to see it, lest we become vain mumblers of platitudes based on doctrines and call it preaching. Those of us that are preachers. Every man that stands to preach has got to be as a man that's come right out of New Jerusalem. That's where Jesus came from. Hallelujah. To understand this, we can preach volumes on he was anointed. We can preach volumes on his parables. We've all done it. But here then, beloved, is the great and glorious thing. He says, we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Why not? Because it's there. You say, you living in this kingdom? Yes, can't you see it all around me? It's this that sets people free. It's this that makes them men and women of God. It's this that sets them free from the trappings of men or the excitements of this or that and the other. They carry their heaven with them. Amen. Doesn't matter where they are. And listen, we'll read down, 28, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And here it is again, our God is a consuming fire. I told you, he came down onto Sinai. He consumed and consumed and consumed. You say, where's Sinai gone? It's still there. You can see it. It's there in the land. It was like the bush. The fire consumed in the bush, but the bush wasn't consumed. The mountain. The fire burned in the mountain, and the mountain was still there. And you can walk up it today. Well, not today you can't, but you know what I mean. You can. I don't want to. Some people have a craze to do it. I haven't. I know Mount Zion. This verse is speaking about. I'm often up that one. Here then is the grace and truth of God that he wants us to see. And you've got to see it. Unless you're no minister, man, you've got nothing to say to people. Here then is the tremendousness of the truth. Ah, God, we've got a kingdom that can't be moved. Hallelujah. If the fire of God doesn't consume a bush, if the fire of God doesn't move Sinai out of its place, then I'm sure it won't move you. You've got nothing that can be moved. You remember, the brother referred to this morning. He always thought he knew what I was going to preach on tonight, wouldn't you? You know, when he said, well, we'll read the verse that shook him those years ago. Hallelujah. It says this. See then, verse 25, that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Hallelujah. Let's go back to verse, to chapter 1. And this is what we read. Verse 6. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, who he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be shaken. You know, if you're a tidy person, when you go to bed tonight, you won't throw your clothes on the floor or stuff them up in a corner. You'll shake them and fold them. And that's what you do. You'll fold them up. That's what you'll do. And God says, well, we've been wearing these clothes for long enough. We're going to just fold them up and we're going to put them away. And the Lord Jesus is going to have a wonderful time. And so am I. You see, it's all going to pass away, friend. You won't be worried about the bank rate. If you're worried about, now there's something wrong somewhere, I don't know, you got mixed up in the wrong things. Here then is the tremendous thing. God wants us to know this, beloved. Oh, it's so wonderful. Now, I'm aware the time's going. I offered Norman my blanket of many colours, but his name's not Joseph, I think. Here then is the tremendous thing for us to see. As long as you understand the truth, if you're a child of God, not a bastard, but a true child of God. You say, well, fancy using shocking words like that. Well, it's in the Bible. Let's read it. It says this. You, verse 5 of Hebrews 12, have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not now the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And if ye be without chastisement, whereof all, that is, all the children, are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. And I'm so afraid, I don't know about you, Norman, I'm not asking you, I'm so afraid we've got so many bastards in the fellowships. That's what I'm afraid of. They've been born of bastardy. They haven't come from the true marriage. That's my fear. That's something that consumes me very often. Oh yes, we've got some true children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what bastard is, don't you? It's conceived and born out of wedlock. Or born between a wrong relationship. The result of a wrong relationship. If there's anybody who in the physical feels is described like that, please, beloved, I'm not talking about you. God loves you. You understand that it wasn't your fault. Don't you feel ashamed of that. That's nothing to do with you. Your parents, whoever they were, ought to be the ones that are filled with shame. But not you. You take that right into your heart, dear, whoever you are. It bears a stigma on earth, perhaps, but not in these circles. You understand that? Glory be to the name of the Lord. Here's the truth. But you know, we're getting these in churches. I'm as certain of it as I am that I'm now walking up and down this platform. Amen. The proof of whether you are a true child of God, friend, is this. It isn't whether you can preach. Because I want to testify to you that I preached years before I was born again. I'm not boasting in that. I'm telling you the truth. It isn't the fact that you can preach. And I think that probably, if we want to discuss this, my knowledge of the Bible was as great as most preachers are now at my age. My knowledge in those days. Knowledge of the Bible, mark you, but not of God. That was the tragedy. Preaching is not a sign. Amen. Oh, I could go through lots of things. The fact that you say you're speaking in tongues, that's not a sign. Those two men will know they come from a country where you get absolute heathens speaking in tongues when they get under the spell of They work themselves up and they can chatter away in all kinds of tongues. And we're no different than when we go jigging and rocking and rolling all over the place and get filled with beer or wines or drugs. And we can chatter away, and some of them do, go off into the realm which is pure fantasy. Here are some of the marks of whether you're a true child or whether you're a bastard. Here it is. He says this, speaking of those in this connection. Let's go into verse 9. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen. To correct you when you get into sin, if you do. To correct you if you're going the wrong way. And then you don't moan at God. And you don't sink down into a slough of despond or something. When God is correcting you, that's the proof that he loves you. And loves you increasingly. Amen. Now, you don't have to get a sadistic view of this. You know, oh Lord, keep punishing me, keep doing this, keep doing that. It's an unhealthy state of mind. That's not anything at all. But sheer deception in your heart. The Lord does correct, but he doesn't keep on punishing. Praise his name. He punishes unto correction. He punishes so that you can become fruitful. We'll read it in a moment or two. But he does it for our profit. We read it in verse 10. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen. Next verse. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hallelujah. Wants to make you a fruitful Christian, beloved. A fruitful one. Bow to it. Let the Lord teach you and show you. You must have correction. Another thing about it is this. In verse 12, and I like this verse, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Say to them, come on, love. You've got to make the grade. You've got to go. Come on. Don't keep falling on their neck and kissing them. You'll make their burden worse. The whole thing is to lift up their hands. Lift up their hands. I don't mean that lift. I get a bit sick sometimes in a meeting where you have somebody going around something. Come on, put your hand up, brother. Or something. That's supposed to be a sign you're in the charisma. Or something. Lift up the hands that hang down. Confirm the feeble knees. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And another thing you've got to see is in the next verse. He says, you're to make straight paths for your feet. What? You say, I don't understand this. In verse 1, it talks about running a race. In this verse, it talks about walking in a straight path. And you told us in the beginning that we've already arrived at the city. Amen. Yes. This is the great and marvelous truth. We've arrived at the city. But I'm on a journey, beloved, as long as my life lasts me, about another 50 years perhaps. I don't know. I'm on a journey on this earth, and I want to walk a straight path. That's what I want. I don't want any complications. People make their way so complicated. As I listen to people, they spit out something, and you think, oh dear. Oh, they make it so complicated, so difficult, so hard. They've got this, they've got that. Listen, beloved, I want to tell you there's a straight path through all your troubles. There's a straight way through all your difficulties. There's a straight way, a righteous way. It's the way of God. That's right. It's a simple, straight way. It's whether or not you'll walk in it. If you won't walk in it, beloved, well, what even can God do? If you won't walk in the path that He's given you, there's a straight way. All the other ways are the serpent's trails. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Praise the name of the Lord. Isn't this wonderful? One of the marvelous things about New Jerusalem that you can read about at the end of the Bible is that there's only one street in it. Did you ever realize that? Not many streets. Now, look at the confusion down here. Why we came out of our house this morning, at least the house we're living in, and I was standing there waiting to get in the car to come down here, and another car drew up and stopped. Some of you got a map in their hand. They say, we want this, we want that, we want something else. I'd say, sorry, I don't live here. So I called our driver, who shall be nameless. Got a nice car. And he tried. He gave up. The streets and roads. He said, if you go up here, it'll go around there and you'll go back to Bobby Tracy. Well, they didn't want Bobby Tracy. They wanted a place where they had horses. It's funny, this map. They'd got horseshoes on it. But there it is. And here... yes, it had. I saw it. Here... Here's the truth, beloved. Here's the truth. There are so many streets. There are so many ways. You say, I can get to Bobby Tracy two ways, three ways, four ways. I want to tell you, there's only one street in New Jerusalem. You be very careful to read it. And you've got to go that way. So you've got to get on the way to that street now. Do you see that? You've got to, sure, you've got to walk the same street I'm walking. We're all going one way, one street. This is how you know the true children of God. In the end, when they're enlightened enough, and we all have to grow in light, they all say the same thing too. They all preach the same gospel. Hallelujah. No confusion anywhere. Oh, the confusing things there are in these days. Can turn you off anyway, and here is my concern. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, well, what's the way to walk? I'll tell you, Christ. I'm the way, he says. I'm the way. Glory. And you know, when these children of Israel, they left their Mount Sinai to go into the promised land, they thought it was going to be wonderful. I want to tell you, it was the kingdom of God in those days for them. You say, really? The promise is sure. God was going to have his house pitched there, and he was going to live in the children of, amidst the children of Israel, in what we'll call the promised land now. It was to be the kingdom of God on earth. Yes, that's what it was to be. But they sought out many ways of their own. They didn't want God to be their king. Oh God, give me all my possessions. I'm very greedy for them. Say, oh, poor people, you know they've been slaves. Of course they were wanting the corn and the wine and the oil. But also deep down in most of their hearts, they wanted the leeks. They wanted the garlics. They wanted all these things that belong to Egypt. So all you people who like garlic and leeks and all those sort of hodgepodge things, you know where they come from. The Bible's very clear. I don't want them. Here is the... Give me sweet things, New Jerusalem. Yeah. God will even change your tastes if you let him. It was to be the kingdom of God. You see? But when God, turning aside from all the figures, all the tents, all the buildings, as we heard this morning, when God came down and turned away from gold and silver and brass and turned away from beasts and altars and incense, when God turned away from all that and came down on the earth in the form of a man, they said, we will not have him to reign over us. We won't. That's what they said. Now you've got to make a choice. I'm not giving you an escape hatch from hell. That's a terrible place to spend eternity. Neither am I just telling you you can have your sins forgiven, that you need the man, if anybody did. A new woman, young or old. I'm not just telling you that. I'm telling you, beloved, that New Jerusalem is ready with its doors wide open, or gates wide open, for you to step into it. Pardon the figure. Here is the great thing. Hallelujah. Get on the straight way. My Christ leads me to the Father. He said, follow me, follow me, follow me. I'm going to the Father. They followed him to Gethsemane. And then they left him, and he kept going on via the cross, straight into Father's arms, and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Hallelujah. That's what he did. And all the others turned away from it. That's why you're told at the beginning of this chapter, the Bible's an absolutely scientific book. You're primed all the way through and you don't know. Because you've been taught the logic of some philosopher in a university, or some doctor or dom. And that's the only way you can think. It's right there, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And he despised the shame. And where is he now? Sitting at the right hand of that majesty on high. That's where he is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is that gospel, and there isn't another. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you're trying to find security in some kind of beliefs you have, I want to tell you, beloved, that you'll wake up in the place of the lost. Here then is the tremendous truth. Amen. You're on the way now. Let's come to the way, shall we? It says that you're to follow peace with all men. I'm not saying you're to be a CN deer. You're to be a deer, but not that one. Here is the great thing. You are to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Lord, I want holiness, even if you have to chasten me. That's what we read. that you might be partakers of His holiness. Lord, I want to see holiness. I want to see the Lord. Amen. I'm going, Lord. Must go right on. We're to look diligently, verse 15, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Not a nice chapter, as it talks about bastards and fornicators. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one, just one, what a fool of a man, just for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. Hallelujah. When you are born a child of God in New Jerusalem, when you are born there, you have a birthright. You have a birthright. In other words, you have rights and privileges that belong to no one else. The firstborn have them. What a marvelous thing. And some people have thrown away their birthright for one morsel of meat. Just that. Your birthright is to be full of peace. That's why I started that chorus tonight. He is my peace. Such a profound peace. The devil can't shake it. This is it. A joy. Hallelujah. A grace. A righteousness. Something that cloaks you. And people know it and feel it. Well, if they have eyes to see, that's what they see. They don't see your jumper or your skirt, and they don't see your trousers or that Nike shirt you've got on. Or the ties. Here is the thing, beloved. You understand. Oh, hallelujah. What angels and birthrights and the blood of Jesus and God Himself and Jesus Christ and the spirits of just men made perfect. Holiness and righteousness and fruit and brothers and sisters. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Is this what salvation is to you? Is it? I mean experimentally. Oh, Lord. When your throat's so rough you can't sing, your heart seems to bubble up more. Is that right, Norman? That's right. Amen. And the Lord wants to see this, beloved. Amen. And that man who rejected his birthright for meat. Now I'm going to change that from, you know what that meat was. You can read the story in Genesis. I won't tell you. You read it. But in our blessed revelation and covenant, it doesn't mean that kind of meat, though that can be in same. I mean, Paul speaks about whose God is their belly, enemies of the cross of Christ. No, no, meat of the soul. What do you feed your soul on, beloved? If you keep feeding your soul on that which is not bread by heaven's standard, if you keep doing that, beloved, you will forfeit your birthright. The birthright is that I can feed on the things that God feeds on. Holiness, sweetness, gentleness, love, grace, power, Oh, all these things. I can feed on them. Feed on them. Hallelujah. Do you do that, beloved? What do you do? Straight paths. And you see, you're warned about these things. There are three times the word lest came in our reading. It says in 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator. The three lests that you're warned about. As surely, beloved, as surely as you fail of the grace of God, as surely as you do that, what I mean is, grace that can come to you in any situation, grace that can come to you in any relationship, grace that can come to you though you be tested and tried almost beyond human endurance, grace that can come to you as soon as you lose that, the next thing will take place in you, a root of bitterness will spring up in your heart. I told you I like sweet things. A root of bitterness can spring up in your heart. And don't deceive yourselves. The Bible is God's logic. And it's law. It happens that way. That's the way it has to happen. You might be sitting in this room now and something rankling deep down in your bosom that's still there after you get over the hip hooray of these meetings. It's still there. And it's feeding into your spirit. And it sours and embitters everything in your life. And nothing will satisfy you because this has got to be satisfied. And it comes up. And it's stated in other words in another chapter. And you say to yourself, vengeance is mine. And God says, no, it's not. Vengeance is mine. You leave that alone. And as surely as you do that, if that root of bitterness is in your heart, my friend, many will be defiled because you failed of the grace of God. And if you're not careful, you'll become a fornicator. That is in spiritual things. And you'll sell your birthright. That's the way it goes. Those are the three steps. And may the Lord show us aright that we shall walk to His glory. And that's where He breaks out. Now listen. You've not come to Mount Sinai. You haven't come to Mount Sinai. You haven't come to this darkness. You haven't come to this blackness. You haven't come to despair. You haven't come to something so tremendous that it even makes Moses fear and tremble. I don't know what he was trembling at, but I know now in my spirit he was actually in the darkness with the rest of them. I know in my spirit that though he may not have realized himself, he was trembling at God, what God was showing him as the state of the hearts of the people. The blackness, the darkness, the despair, everything else. And a man of God trembles, not that he's afraid of Satan, he's overcome Satan, he's gone and faced out Pharaoh and all his princes and all his powers. He was no coward. Often think of him, that old white-headed, grey-bearded man. No, white-bearded. And, he's coming down. He's coming from the backside of the desert. Say, where are you going, Moses? He's got his wife and his children with him on an old donkey. Hey, where are you going? I'm going to deliver Israel. They say, what? Don't you realize this is the kingdom on the earth? Don't you realize this is the army? An old man like you. Got your wife and children with you. Oh, what do you think you're going to accomplish? I'm going to conquer the devil. I'm going to conquer all his hosts. I'm going down in there. Hallelujah! He wasn't afraid of anybody. Nothing under the sun frightened that man. But when that blackness came down at Sinai, he shook and he trembled then. And he trembled at the condition of sin that God was showing him. There, the darkness and the despair. I don't know whether you ever tremble like this. Sometimes. I don't mean afraid in that sense. But oh, the dreadfulness of it. What if God had left me in that condition? What if he had? Then I lift up my eyes and I see the mountain of flame. And I hear God saying to me, "Come up, Moses, come up." Out of the darkness he came. Out of the blackness, out of everything else, and he goes up the mountain into the clear, clear air of God. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. And when he came down with the words of life. Do this and live. That's what the law summed up. Just do these things and live. Of course, you know in the gospel it's not do this and live. In the gospel it's live and do this. It's reversed. What a tremendous truth it is, beloved. Well, let's leave him there, shall we? But know this. When God came down at Sinai, everything was shaken. Amen. Now God says, I'm going to shake again. I'm going to speak again. And I want to say to you, beloved, that unless you are living in this New Jerusalem, unless you've come to New Jerusalem, unless you're living there, you'll tremble with all the rest that tremble when the mighty shakings take place. Hallelujah. You're living there. It's the city of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Praise God for his wonderful revelation of himself. So whether it be body, or whether it be building, or whether it be brotherhood in the family, or whether it be bride, beloved, they're all swallowed up in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That's where you've come. I'm asking you a question. Have you come there? Stand up if you have. Be absolutely honest now. Have you come there? I'm not asking you to stand up if you say, "Well, I believe that." Have you come there? Hallelujah. Can you say like David, that when the books are made up and the names are seen, will it be written down there, as David said, "This man was born there"? Now you know he was born in Bethlehem, so he had a kind of new birth. He understood. He said, "This man was born there." Hallelujah. What do you mean, Dave? What do you mean? You were born in Bethlehem. Listen, I was born in the heart of the God that lives there. Amen. All right. I've come. When you say come, what do you mean? Well, I've come by this way and that way. I've come by the way of his grace. I've come by the way of his power. I've come by the way of my understanding he's given to me. I've come there, Lord. My heart has come there. I understand. I was born there. But now I've come in my understanding. I've come in my heart. I've come in my doctrine. I've come in everything. I'm there. This man was born there. Hallelujah. Catch up with your birthplace. Come, friend. Come. You can come tonight. You can come now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I bid you come. I bid you come. Don't stay there stewing in your own misery. I bid you come. In Jesus' name, come. By the power of the Holy Ghost, come. Amen. Come in your heart. Come with all willingness. Come by the grace of God. Come now. Many of you perhaps have only come in some kind of understanding tonight. Well, fine. Come. Don't say, I will not come. And don't say, I cannot come. Both are lies. Here's the truth. I come, Lord. And I say to you in the name of Jesus, whoever you are, whatever's binding you, in the name of Jesus, I break it. Now, you can come. I release you. In His name, He wants you. This is what the gospel's about. You can come. Hallelujah. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus never fails. Sing it now, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus never fails. Away, but Jesus never fails. Glory to God. And you precious ones that have come in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Have your sins washed away. In the name of Jesus, have that old life slain. Right in your bosom now. In the name of Jesus, leave everything behind. In the name of Jesus, be a new man and be a new woman. Now, in Jesus' name. Glory be to the name of the Lord. fight no longer, struggle no longer. Receive with all your heart. Precious Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Don't struggle. In the name of Jesus, I break all your nervous troubles. I come against every bondage in your lives. I come against any false ideas you've had. In Jesus' name, I release you from them. That's what it's about. You're to be a new man. You're to think differently. You're to behave differently. You're to be a child of God and not a bastard. Amen. May the Lord plant it deep inside you. Amen. And amen. 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 The Holy Ghost will witness in your heart when that work is done. If you know it's done, if you believe it's done, stand to your feet and we'll sing, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. New creation, I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away, I'll be born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Born again, feeling the change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, only 'cause of Jesus. Been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Born again, it'll be a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, all because of Calvary. I am so glad that I've been born again. Amen, I'm a new creation.
With your spirit witnesses, right? But I think there's people here
all
yet, so they come out.
Yeah, I know, yes. Passed away, they all sing down. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new If you're a brand new man, that means that you're like Jesus now. He's the new man. Now grow and go on in it. You can receive, my dears, whoever you are. Glad you didn't stand up if you didn't know. But you can still receive. It's the gift of God, dear. All right. Will you receive the gift of God? Well, stop weeping over your failures and joy over your success and receive the Spirit. Go on. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah. And open your mouth and thank Him. Praise God. That's right. Amen. He does more than take your sins away. He takes your old self away. And the amazing change is obvious to everybody. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I guess they're waiting to give you your fish and chips. Aren't they? Hallelujah. Let's just say thank you to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love to me. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace so free. I lift my voice to praise your name. I'll praise you again and again. You are my everything. You are my Lord. So thank you, Jesus, for your love to me. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace so free. I lift my voice to praise your name. I'll praise you again and again. You are my everything. You are my all. For your love to me. Amen. Praise your name, I'll praise you again. You are my everything, you are my all. Now I'll tell you what to do. Put your books on your seats and then go dancing up the aisles. Oh, there's somebody doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. If you've come to the city, hallelujah, sleep in it tonight.